Welcome. This is Detailing Addiction. I'm Dr. Susan Blank, and this is America's Web Radio. Today in studio, I'm very pleased to have a very good friend and colleague, Jim Heinzman, who is the founder, CEO, and president of the Athens Area Commencement Center. Jim and I go way back, and Jim has been very active in the treatment of addiction and recovery for many years. I'm not going to say how many, Jim.
1975.
Okay, you did it. I didn't. Jim has not only a bachelor's but also a master's degree in divinity from our own local Emory University, and is certified by a number of certification entities, including NADAC and ICNRC, as an addiction counselor, as an addiction treatment specialist. And he runs a very fine program in Athens, Georgia, and we're very happy you're here today.
Thank you.
So tell me a little bit, and tell our listeners a little bit about how you found yourself in this field and how Athens Area Commencement Center came about.
I think, like many folks, started off with family members being addicts and alcoholics, untreated addicts and alcoholics. They died of emphysema, coronary disease, and as a result of that, they were undiagnosed but died at the age of 55.
Wow.
But they all drank and smoked themselves to death. And so I saw all of that growing up, for the exception of my father, who was what I call a teetotaling Methodist minister, that kind of got away, mm-hmm. scooted away from all of that because he didn't drink or smoke. So that's my first understanding of that. Plus, I had this wonderful alcoholic uncle that I adored and I looked up to. And so I saw two parts of that disease. And that's where I got started with the family. The other part of it is probably got started in seminary when, as a first quarter freshman, we were required to do clinical work and group work on ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got into another group out of Emory. It's called Clinical Pastoral Education. And those supervisors there were from Emory University. Did what we call an intern and a residency. So I got more interested in clinical than I did pastoral.
Mm-hmm.
And so I found my way into mental health and substance abuse, and that's kind of the beginning of all that.
So by having grown up in a family where people were suffering with this disease, untreated, and seeing some of those effects, including early death, and then through your training in the seminary, learning a little bit more about the other side of it, the mental health issues, as well as how addiction can affect you, not just in your physical health and your relationships, but in your spiritual health. A very good foundation for working in this field.
Yes.
And when you finished your work and your education and began working in the field, did you go right into working in substance use disorders, or was there another path you took before then?
Yeah. I did a lot of work on the med surge units.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what? I'm also an endorsed chaplain through the United Methodist Church, so anytime there was a death on the unit or grief or those kinds of issues, they always called the chaplains in. So I did a lot of that prior to working in addictions. But I preferred working in addiction. They're a lot more fun, by the way.
Yes, they are. I would certainly agree. Although not all of our colleagues in mental health would see it that way, unfortunately.
So much more fun.
I think that work with grief and loss may seem unrelated, but is so critical. Many of our patients, because of just life happening to them or actual things they're exposed to because of this disease, they have a lot of issues in grief and loss, and sometimes their continued use or relapse revolves around that unresolved grief or even fresh grief.
And, you know, I saw so many alcoholics who, the old days, we treated it when it was at the end stage. We treated it when everybody had hit their bottom. So if they had so much loss, it was, you know, it was really difficult to go back and pick up all the gifts and graces that were covered up by the disease. And so, you know, they had to learn how to give up so much. I saw that a lot. I saw bright men and women who got way behind in this world with education and loss of family. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, there was a lot of loss that they had to begin to put together first before they could really step out and talk about recovery, because recovery talks about, you know, all the good stuff.
Right, hope and
yeah.
Success.
Right. And but I saw so many folks. Mm-hmm. I remember one man, and this man I know today, he's been sober now for 35 years. I remember when we was in an inpatient, had an inpatient program at the commencement center, the medical director came to me and said, "Jim, I want you to look at this man down the hallway. There's so much brain damage that he is not ever going to go back to work or do those things." And I looked at him, and I've never forgotten that day. And yet, at the same time, after 30 years, he is still going to AA, still have some limited cognitive deficits, doing well. But you know, those are the kind of people that we miss so much, and give up on, you know, and probably by the grace of his good Lord that he didn't give up, you know. So, and what a wonderful thing to see. It's the other reason I like about addiction. In the hospital, sometimes folks got better, some folks didn't get better,
right.
But those who got better, you never saw again. The interesting thing about addiction is you see folks come in pretty much at their worst feeling level, and you see folks brighten up. Mm-hmm. You see the brain begin to get better by the muscle tissue in their face. You begin to see the light in their eyes light up, and they start talking about recovery, getting better. That's wonderful. I got a man in my program right now that I was doing the family group with him, and his minister dad was sitting beside of him, and dad said, it's amazing that my son has begun to put on good shoes, clean clothes, is shaved, is back to work, and it's just a miracle, you know, that he's doing all that. So that's kind of the good thing about working in recovery. You get to watch that over a period of time, days, weeks, months, years, 30 years for this man
for
in the hallway.
Right, for the guy that you saw that people had given up on and said.
Drives a red convertible Thunderbird, you know, those little Thunderbirds. Just amazing.
And 35 years later is?
No car. People let him out, told him to go in there and don't come back out until they tell you to. Yeah. So
we do see miracles. We see lives transformed. We see people get better, and not just better than they were when they came in, but actually their lives in many ways can be better than they have ever been, living that life of recovery. Improves their relationships, improves their self-esteem, and improves their cognitive function, which is real important, and helps them to be more successful if they can manage the cravings and manage the things that want to keep pulling them back into their active addiction.
Right. And you know, I've always lived in a small community. Athens, of course, is a small community. But you know, rarely do I walk out somewhere that I don't run into. Commencement Center's been around for 75 years, 30 some years. Rarely do I walk in somewhere without running into an alumni which is, you know, seeing it work in the community mm-hmm. is another real, real wonderful thing, you know. And so I'm all for recovering people. In fact, I prefer hanging out with recovering people.
I definitely agree. It's a good life, and Michael Daly is here with us too from the Atlanta Healing Center, and I know Michael has spent some time working with recovery over the years as well, and the transformations I'm sure that you've seen are astonishing.
Astonishing, yes. It's amazing to me to see the kind of broken down, sad individuals that we see that walk in the door, and rather quickly, when they do, you know, what you have helped them understand that they need to do and do the things that are in front of them, soon their life starts to turn around and you see a new person walking in the door after, you know, just a matter of weeks or, you know, a month or so. It's always amazing. And it's always so good to see, and it just reiterates, while there's a lot of health care that, like you said, that you get to see progress, but you don't get to see it like we do,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Absolutely. You know, and, you know, how quickly you can see the transformation is that I leave the office for a few days and come back, mm-hmm. and I look around and I say, wow.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
People that were cowering in the corner mm-hmm. are now sharing in a group and talking about right. things, and it's like they're a completely different person.
And you know, it breaks through all prejudice too. That's the other thing about
right.
recovery. You know, it's just amazing to see how, you know, the lines that people draw prior to treatment is broken mm-hmm. down, and people begin to value people for people. And And recovery is one of the few places, I know that happens. Because, you know, people, they just don't, they're looking for people getting better.
Right. And that motivation. Mm-hmm. And if it's not there, the others give people hope.
Mm-hmm.
And by their having gone through it and been able to explain to a newcomer what it's been like for them and what they were like and what they are like now, they can have hope that the newcomer, the new person coming into treatment, can gain strength and hope when they don't really have a firm belief that it's possible for them, but they can see someone else has done better and someone else is reaching out a hand, and so they feel like maybe it's going to be possible for me too. And that's the beauty, I think, of treatment centers like the Commencement Center, where it really is a community, and your aftercare program, I think, is an awesome example of that, where people really stay involved in their own recovery and assist in the recovery for others for a longer period of time than many of these episodes of care. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll explore a little bit more about the programs at the Athens Area Commencement Center, including their aftercare program. Thanks for listening. We'll be right back.
The disease of addiction is a life-altering challenge, not just for the person suffering its effects, but also for the family and friends who support and love the one caught in its grasp. What should be the course of treatment? Who is the best person to render treatment? And what is the best place to go for the care that is needed? We know that you want answers to these and many more questions. Call 770-696-9862 and speak to a representative of the Atlanta Healing Center. They can tailor a program specifically designed to address the needs of the person suffering with an addiction, or give you guidance as to where that help may be found. Information is the key, and the trained staff at AHC is here to assist. If you wish, you can also get more information on the website located at www.atlantahealingcenter.com.
This is Tracy Pearson with Prissy Tomboy. Listen to the Prissy Tomboy radio show every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time as I interview special guests that will inspire adventure and fitness for females.
Perhaps you are struggling to cope with the disease of addiction. If not, you probably know a family member or friend that needs help in battling the cravings and the personal and professional damage done by the effects of drugs or alcohol. Get a pen and paper and be ready to write down the following. These are the issues that the trained staff at the Atlanta Healing Center address and treat every day. Their doctors and counselors with over 40 years of practice in the field of addiction can treat the suffering individual in a thoughtful, compassionate, and experienced manner and guide him or her along the path to recovery. So call 770-696-9862 and speak to a knowledgeable staff member about how you or your loved one can be helped to enjoy a better and healthier life. More information is also available on the website at www.atlantahealingcenter.com.
This is americaswebradio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back. This is Dr. Susan Blank on Detailing Addiction, and today in studio I have Jim Heinzman, who is the president and CEO of the Athens Area Commencement Center, along with Michael Daly, the COO of the Atlanta Healing Center. If you're interested in finding out more information about the Commencement Center, you can check them out on the web at www.thecommencementcenter.com, all words written completely out, thecommencementcenter.com, or you can call them toll-free at 1-866-294-1830. That's 866-294-1830. Keep your pen and paper handy for the next segment because I will give this contact information again. Before the break, Jim, we were talking a little bit about the joys, the fun of working in recovery and the kind of the changing face of recovery over the years. And I wondered if you would share with us a little bit about what you've seen in terms of the past history of addiction treatment and how the Commencement Center was actually founded and where we see things going.
Yeah. First time I saw addiction was up on a psych ward in a hospital. They called it the psych ward. And basically what was happening up there was detox only.
Right.
And discharging folks out. And, of course, the prognosis with those folks getting detox only was very poor. And there was a family doc in town that decided he wanted to do more with that, who ended up being the medical director for quite a few years at the Commencement Center. But anyway, he began to formalize some treatment up on a psych unit.
Mm-hmm.
It slowly moved out of the general hospital setting to the hospital, decided to build a freestanding unit on campus. We had 20 beds back in those days, 4 detox beds, 16 mm-hmm. step-down beds. But it was like we were doing what everybody else was doing in the country during those days.
Right.
There was no outpatient treatment. Everybody was doing inpatient treatment. Mm-hmm. But there was still something lacking. I didn't like the outcome I saw on the med psych unit. But I was also not too happy what I saw in inpatient treatment because there was no aftercare. We would discharge individuals with the idea, if you want it bad enough, you'll get it. And we put all the responsibility on the clients to get it in. And programs kind of stepped away from the responsibility of whether they had good care or poor care. So we, out of that inpatient program, I had a lady who came up to me one day who was a member of AA, and she said, I want to volunteer and start an aftercare group.
Well, nice.
There was no money in aftercare.
Right.
And she knew that. But she had a desire to do something there out of her own recovery.
Mm-hmm.
She was an alumni of the Willing Way program,
which used
to be one of the old leading programs
during
those days. So she said, I'm going to start that aftercare, and one of these days you're going to hire me. Well, she built aftercare up to about 30 people a week.
Oh, nice.
Nice. It ended up we had over 60-some people coming to aftercare a week. which all of a sudden I begin to see folks getting better because they continued to be managed at some level with drug screens, and employers got involved, and you know, other healthcare people got involved. The legal system got involved, said that you've got to come to aftercare. But we begin to see folks getting better mm-hmm. out of that aftercare group. So my CEO at that time, you know, I was the administrator there, my CEO at that time didn't believe that treatment really worked. So he said to me one more time back in the mid-80s, he said, I want you to find somebody who will do outcome measures. So Commencement Center's been doing outcome measures. A group out of Minnesota did outcome measures.
Mm-hmm.
Norm Hoffman was heading up that group, who is still working in the field. So we started doing outcome measures to see what was working and what wasn't working. And, of course, we came out with some pretty good indicators that said folks who, which we should have always known but we hadn't paid attention to, is that the earlier you begin to treat this disease, the more treatable it becomes. So we began to identify whether folks had their family system intact, whether at what level they were educated. We began to figure out what drug of choice was more treatable than others. At what age did we find, you know, a better outcome with? So out of that, you know, we also began to determine how to move the clinical program into to focus on those very important areas for clients. That is their family, their job, whether they're in legal problem. Those are the three big motivations mm-hmm. that we paid attention to. And, of course, back in those days, too, I don't know how I survived it. We were doing all this cocaine treatment back in the 80s. You know, 90% of the folks, maybe higher than that, 95% of the folks who came into treatment during those days were addicted to cocaine. It was so severe that I remember my staff saying to me, if you see an alcoholic come in for treatment, we don't care where he comes from or who he is, please admit this alcoholic to help these cocaine addicts begin to slow down a little bit. But so out of that, you know, those indicators also said something else to us. They began to identify people in outpatient treatment actually did better than those folks we kept in-house, because we wasn't doing a very good job integrating people back into the community.
Mm-hmm.
And with outpatient treatment, they began to integrate. Once they began to clear up and to get better, they themselves began to move closer into the community and reclaim those things that they had lost, or try to catch up on things that they've lost. So eventually, back in 2003, so we stayed on the hospital campus to 2003, and then the payers didn't want to pay for treatment much anymore in a hospital setting.
Right.
And so the hospital began to say, you know, we weren't sure we wanted to be in that business. And I still remember going to the administration after they told me, well, we think we're going to let Commencement Center go. And like a fool, I haven't even done any work yet. I said, well, what would happen if I would buy the program? And the administrator there said, are you serious? And I said, yeah. I said, I don't know much what I'm going to do, but what if I buy the program? So what they did is they said, you develop a business plan, because a hospital has an interest in that the Commencement Center remains in the community. If you can create a business plan that says this has a possibility of working, then we're interested in transferring the Commencement Center into your hands. So at 2003... Now, it's not like the hospital gave me anything.
I'm sure they did not give you that.
We still had to figure out how to finance that and do mm-hmm. all of that. But in 2003, we started an ambulatory detox, which I'm not sure if there was an ambulatory detox program in 2003.
I don't think there were many that were doing that. There were a few places that, and a few doctors that were brave, but most places not doing that at all.
So we did that too. we begin to figure out, with a good assessment on the front end, you can have good outcomes with ambulatory detox.
Which means the patient is not going inside the hospital or a psych facility or a freestanding residential program, but they're living at home, they're integrating into their lives and being detoxed.
Correct.
Ambulatory, meaning they're walking back and forth in and out of the building, I guess. A lot of people don't know what that means.
We were doing everything on an ambulatory basis that we did in the hospital.
Right.
And we used their beds at home. We had to make sure that they had a safe place to be. They had transportation back and forth, and they had family who was willing to support us if there was a negative outcome, get them to the hospital, which the ambulatory detox has been wonderfully successful.
Yes.
So we moved in 2003 to an ambulatory detox, 6 weeks intensive outpatient treatment program with, to make it simple, day and evening program, and then continue that aftercare program. We also have, as an aftercare, the professionals group, which is made up of healthcare professionals whose license has got into a problem, that they are required to be there also. But again, what's really interesting of the people who come to aftercare and the people who are in that professionals group, long-term recovery is huge.
Mm-hmm.
It's huge. We've kind of seen that happen. Now, the other thing, too, is drugs are trendy. They come and go.
Right. You were mentioning the cocaine, which we rarely see cocaine as a primary substance right now. Although, interestingly, at ASAM, I know that you were at the recent ASAM meeting down in Austin. I don't know if you heard Bob DuPont talk about every time we have a heroin epidemic, it's then followed by a cocaine epidemic. So we're in the midst of a heroin epidemic, so I'm glad you know how to treat cocaine. We'll come up, get some in-services from you, because it looks like cocaine will be next. But you're right, it changes. It fluctuates what drugs of use and abuse. And
yeah, we tend to forget that the drug business in this country is managed and manipulated, and it's a business.
Exactly.
And my guess is, with heroin being an illegal drug, cocaine becomes the drug behind that. And then the other thing is, we've created a whole generation of what I call chemists now. These 20-year-olds who know how to manipulate the prescription drugs are going to be very skillful at designer drugs. And so, you know, so we got a, I guess there's not going to be a shortage of folks who's going to need some treatment. You know, it's going to continue. And good old alcohol, it's even better than it used to be.
Yep, people are still, alcohol is still kind of the baseline for what most people are doing. They may be adding other things to it, but we see a fair number still of folks with alcohol and young people with alcohol, particularly around the college campuses. Alcohol continues to be a big problem and a big reason that young people come into treatment. Back in my day, I never would really have thought of a young person, an 18, 19-year-old, who would need detoxification for alcohol, and yet here we are, and that's what we see commonly. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll learn a little bit more about the history of the Athens Area Commencement Center, its mission and purpose. Thanks for listening. We'll be right back.
Perhaps you are struggling to cope with the disease of addiction. If not, you probably know a family member or friend that needs help in battling the cravings and the personal and professional damage done by the effects of drugs or alcohol. Get a pen and paper and be ready to write down the following. These are the issues that the trained staff at the Atlanta Healing Center address and treat every day. Their doctors and counselors with over 40 years of practice in the field of addiction can treat the suffering individual in a thoughtful, compassionate, and experienced manner and guide him or her along the path to recovery. So call 770-696-9862 and speak to a knowledgeable staff member about how you or your loved one can be helped to enjoy a better and healthier life. More information is also available on the website at www.atlantahealingcenter.com.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on americaswebradio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on americaswebradio.com anytime you like.
This is Dr. Susan Blank, host of Detailing Addiction on America's Web Radio. Please join us at 4 p.m. on Tuesday afternoons.
The disease of addiction is a life-altering challenge, not just for the person suffering its effects, but also for the family and friends who support and love the one caught in its grasp. What should be the course of treatment? Who is the best person to render treatment? And what is the best place to go for the care that is needed? We know that you want answers to these and many more questions. Call 770-696-9862 and speak to a representative of the Atlanta Healing Center. They can tailor a program specifically designed to address the needs of the person suffering with an addiction or give you guidance as to where that help may be found. Information is the key, and the trained staff at AHC is here to assist. If you wish, you can also get more information on the website located at www.atlantahealingcenter.com.
You're listening to americaswebradio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back. This is Dr. Susan Blank. With us today is Jim Heinzman, who's the president and CEO of the Athens Area Commencement Center. As promised, here's the contact information. Certainly, if you have questions about addiction, if you or a loved one are in need of an evaluation, in need of treatment, please consider the Athens Area Commencement Center. You can check them out on the web at www.thecommencementcenter.com, or you can call them toll-free at 1-866-294-1830. That's 1-866-294-1830. Before the break, we were talking about this the evolution as you have seen it through the Commencement Center from inpatient detox in a med-surg hospital as we move forward through to a community-based program that integrates the person back into their life and the importance of aftercare. And I think that one of the things, among the many things that you all do well there, one of the things that you really do well is your aftercare program and your longer-term recovery support. You get people stabilized, you get families educated and involved in the recovery, and then you keep that person motivated and encouraged and supported by having this long-term aftercare program. How long does that last? Ideally, and in reality,
probably about 12 months. In the recovery field, we talk about 2 years. Now, I don't know where that magic number comes from at 2 years, and we advertise aftercare for 2 years. But I'm really happy if I see somebody 6 months to a year in aftercare. I think we've been pretty successful. And of course, the other part of aftercare is trying to get the families in some kind of recovery too, and educate the family to signs. And almost all family members walk in the door with a tremendous amount of mistrust and anger. And I have found as sophisticated we are in 2015, we really don't have a universal language to talk about addiction. We know how to get angry. We know how to feel disappointed. We know how to, all those feelings are there, but no one is able to talk about those feelings. So I decided 2 years ago I need to do something about that. And so we opened up the Commencement Center to Al-Anon and Nar-Anon. Mm-hmm. Because I got tired of seeing Al-Anon and Nar-Anon being in a dark basement somewhere, particularly where women were afraid to go because it was dark and it was a basement. Mm-hmm. They have just about outgrown the commencement center.
Seriously.
Nar-Anon meets there two nights a week. Al-Anon meets there one night a week. And, of course, when we do our family groups, you know, we're really suggesting that those family members go on with their recovery in these support groups. So, but I think first of all, family members, it's just like an addict and alcoholic. To say to an addict and alcoholic, you just need to go on to AA, doesn't make sense to an addict and alcoholic. I have figured out with family members, it doesn't make any more sense to tell them you need to go to an Al-Anon meeting. So, but I think part of the reason Al-Anon and Nar-Anon is growing so much commencement center is that family group. They come into family group and we're not trying to figure out who's at fault. We're trying to figure out how to develop a language to talk about addiction. And then recovery comes after that. So I'm anxious to see what happens to those individuals in aftercare and those family members in Al-Anon there also.
Well, one thing I want to add to this is, at least what I have seen at Atlanta Healing Center, is that initially the patient or the alcoholic or addict will be kind of, oh, I don't know if I want my family here. And we try to educate them really early and really, you know, convincingly that, yes, you really do want your family here. And the more information they get and the more they're here, and the more support you get from them, the better off you're going to be. And then they start to see that. And once they start seeing their family members coming to the family group and participating and really improving, they're like, oh, this is how that works, you know?
And family members, they just hate the disease concept.
Sometimes
the
they
reason
do, yes.
They hate the disease concept because let me give you back when we were doing inpatient treatment, we also did a family aftercare, couples aftercare. And it started because I had two wives huffing.
You personally?
No. Excuse me. I had two of my clients' wives to hustle into the commencement center. I knew it was going to be trouble when they walked in the door because they were, you know, they were very stern looking and like, where's the administrator? And they came in and they said to me, they said, Jim, we are so glad our husband's in treatment, but we're sick and tired of commencement center cuddling them and loving on them. And we as wives and family members get nothing. You know. So that kind of started. You know, I learned Al-Anon women are pretty strong women and you probably need to pay attention to them. But it started again, you know, this whole, you know, recovery is not just about the alcoholic and addict. And then, you know, I found out in the workforce and in the employment around Athens, human resources and supervisors are the biggest enablers because they know what it means to confront an employee. And if you confront too hard, the people they work with every day is going to lose their job. And so, you know, I figured that was a concern, too. You know, I think I've learned in 2 years how important Al-Anon, and even though I knew it intellectually, experientially, I see them walking up down my hallway.
And as they get healthier, the whole family can get healthier. The individual with addiction can get healthier. If you don't treat the whole system, whether, like you say, whether that's the family system or the workplace system, you are going to have someone who is at great risk for continuing relapse and continuing dysfunction, because it really does take the whole system getting healthier for the individual to reach their full potential of health.
And I think the family plays a role in, you know, both relapse prevention, but right. also how to get family members help. So if they have enough education, they can call the commencement center up and say, gee, I'm concerned about my husband or my son. You know, mm-hmm. can we bring him back in? Kind of thing. And I see that.
And when you have this attitude that this is a chronic illness and there are going to be good times and bad times, and it's not about shaming the person or telling them that they're bad or that the family's failed or that they failed, you can have those relationships that allow the family or the individual to pick up that phone much earlier
yeah.
and prevent things from going from bad to really, really bad.
Mm-hmm.
Having those long-term relationships with everybody in the recovery system lets any one person who has concerns be an initiator of an intervention that can be really helpful, and that makes a huge difference.
And you know, interventions is not like doing 6 weeks of treatment again.
Right. Mm-hmm. No.
So the quicker we intervene,
right.
we may need a week to stabilize, we may need 3 weeks to stabilize. We don't need to do the same thing we did with the first episode of treatment. And that's the other good thing about it, is that you restabilize them back into aftercare, which is really cool.
Exactly. And that really is a chronic disease model of recovery, that it's a community-based program that people, whether they have diabetes or they have the disease of addiction, they're going to do well at some times, and other times they're going to need a more intensive intervention. But all along they're going to need to know that you're out there, that there's someone that gets it and will be helpful to them without, again, like you say, making them go back and do the whole thing again. They may need a more intensive level of care,
right.
certainly.
Right.
But very often, as you say, if you can intervene earlier, it's a much quicker recovery back to that improved state of health that they recently had.
And family and work. You know, I always said, you know the old saying in the old days, anything you put above recovery, you're going to lose. Well, that meant people had to quit their jobs.
get a divorce.
I never understood that.
I didn't.
But no, you know, it means the quicker you intervene, the quicker you get folks back to work, they save their jobs, you know.
Their self-respect, their financial status.
Right.
Well, and it's also important because in the outpatient, it gives them a chance to use the tools, use the intensity of the program and the groups and the therapy while they're going to work and they're reintegrating, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So they have a really good support system, whereas the old model where you'd go off for 30 to 90 days or whatever, mm-hmm. and then you'd get out and boom,
mm-hmm.
you had no tools.
Mm-hmm.
You're thrown into the wolves, sort of.
And, you know, our therapy back in the old days, you know, the inpatient therapy, we did these things called, you know, inner child healing, psychodrama. But you had to do something in inpatient to fill
right.
the days. And I'm just talking about myself. I made a lot of mistakes in inpatient treatment in the old days. Everyone else was doing it, too, because I'd get
sure.
the ideas from,
sure.
you know, other places. You know, we didn't talk about the brain at all. Not at all. We talked about resistance, denial. We talked about people who needed to go to jail because they weren't acting right. You know, and all of a sudden, outpatient treatment fits the brain model.
Exactly.
It fits the brain model, and it fits the chronic disease model.
Yep. Absolutely. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about the brain model and outpatient treatment. Thanks for listening.
The disease of addiction is a life-altering challenge, not just for the person suffering its effects, but also for the family and friends who support and love the one caught in its grasp. What should be the course of treatment? Who is the best person to render treatment? And what is the best place to go for the care that is needed? We know that you want answers to these and many more questions. Call 770-696-9862 and speak to a representative of the Atlanta Healing Center. They can tailor a program specifically designed to address the needs of the person suffering with an addiction or give you guidance as to where that help may be found. Information is the key, and the trained staff at AHC is here to assist. If you wish, you can also get more information on the website located at www.atlantahealingcenter.com.
This is Tracy Pearson with Prissy Tomboy. Listen to the Prissy Tomboy radio show every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time as I interview special guests that will inspire adventure and fitness for females.
Perhaps you are struggling to cope with the disease of addiction. If not, you probably know a family member or friend that needs help in battling the cravings and the personal and professional damage done by the effects of drugs or alcohol. Get a pen and paper and be ready to write down the following. These are the issues that the trained staff at the Atlanta Healing Center address and treat every day. Their doctors and counselors with over 40 years of practice in the field of addiction can treat the suffering individual in a thoughtful, compassionate, and experienced manner and guide him or her along the path to recovery. So call 770-696-9862 and speak to a knowledgeable staff member about how you or your loved one can be helped to enjoy a better and healthier life. More information is also available on the website at www.atlantahealingcenter.com.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back. This is Dr. Susan Blank on Detailing Addiction on America's Web Radio. Today we have Jim Heinzman from the Athens Area Commencement Center. Please check them out on the web at thecommencementcenter.com or call them toll-free at 1-866-294-1830, 1-866-294-1830. Right before the break, we were talking about some of the crazy days of treatment, and I'm sure we'll probably look back on today's treatment modalities and think we were a little off of center. But I remember talking with one of my mentors, Dr. Doug Talbot, when he said, you know, we do the best we can with what we have, but we really don't have all the answers, and we need to be open and willing to look and to change because too many people are dying. And so, though I agree, Jim, I probably need to send some notes of apology to people. We didn't understand the brain disease, although Dr. Silkworth did. You know, some of the early writers and thinkers in AA probably had a much better idea, and we lost that in translation somehow. But we didn't think of it as a brain disease. Mm-hmm. We thought of it as a problem with alcohol or a problem with denial or a problem with resistance. But we didn't really understand this is a chronic disease of the brain. And as Nora Volkow from NIDA says, a childhood brain disease. This is something that occurs often well before there are the introduction of drugs and alcohol. We're not going to cure it. Our best hope is that we can manage it, and that chronic disease model really is an outpatient community-based model. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. No doubt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, it, so much so, what you just said is, see, my whole meaning of marketing changes for me. So marketing for me is not bells and whistles and conference attendance. Mm-hmm. And my marketing is my outcome, meaning that the patients that we discharge and our reputation in a small community becomes all we got because our attraction is there too. Mm-hmm. It's a community attraction. So, you know, it's another way to cut some expense when you're not doing all this national marketing.
Right.
You know, you can really focus, you know, hopefully more on the clinical. And education. You know, that's another piece that I think, since we're in a small community, which the University of Georgia is there, you know, we have nurses that rotate through mm-hmm. there. We have social work students that rotate through there, pharmacy students that rotate through there, maybe some medical students down the road that's going to rotate through there. And all that's is a big change, and that's, you know, that's very hopeful as mm-hmm. people begin to get this chronic disease education as they become practitioners themselves.
So even if they don't go into addiction treatment, they will recognize the disease. They will understand that there is treatment, that people do get better, that there are ways to manage this disease, and they'll know when and how to make referrals and how to assess and refer patients to treatment. So the work that you do with your training programs is really an important component of what you and the folks at the Athens Area Commencement Center give back to the community.
Right. So early detection means better outcome.
Exactly.
So if our nurses and social workers and pharmacists and doctors, you know, are early, mm-hmm. can see the disease early on, you know, it should be a much treatable disease. And that's a pretty high standard, but that's I think the long term in treating recovery, I hope that happens.
And part of what I think that does as well, and this goes back to something that we were talking before the show, which is it normalizes this disease and allows people in the regular community to have a greater understanding of the disease, so that it's not those people over there that we don't talk about and that we keep secret in our own family. And we're bringing the light, we're opening the curtains, we're allowing people to understand this disease, and that kind of training of young professionals, I think, is the only way we're really going to do away with some of the stigma mm-hmm. and some of the difficulties that our patients have with trying to return to their lives.
Mm-hmm.
People don't trust them. They worry about them. Are they going to be a good employee? What's going on? Because they don't understand that this really is a disease.
You know, and if there's Emory faculty listening, one of the things is those seminarians need to have some education in addiction.
Yes.
Because I can remember early on that I would shake hands with people at the door of the church, and I recognized the family issues that was directly connected to active addiction.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say I recognized it, I knew something was wrong. I really didn't know what I was looking at until looking back at it now. But, you know, the religious community.
Yes.
Is a place that's being left out of this.
And yet they're dealing with all of the problems. They're seeing the heartbreak, the suffering, the difficulties within the family and within the members of their congregation. So
yes.
Understanding how to recognize and support treatment is so important.
And it's like when we hear from somebody that they've seen a psychiatrist for 4 years. And we say, well, did they ever talk to you about, well, no, they didn't even know that they were an addict.
They never asked me.
They never, and you just kind of think, how can that be? How could you see somebody for 4 years and not realize it? But
right. But
they just don't.
Right.
And that's, I think, part of the problem. Just like you say in pastoral or you know, the education there, it's not on their radar.
Mm-mm. No, it's not. But, you know, I remember a Roman Catholic priest. His name was Henry Nouwen. I don't know if you ever read any of his things, but I remember going to a lecture of his, and he says the church has become a place for people to talk about their strengths and how to overcome. And he said that is so twisted from biblical teaching, that the church ought to be a place where people can come and talk about their weakness and their sickness and their diseases, and to be able to stand up in the back and to say, I need some help.
Mm-hmm.
But his argument was the church has moved away from that. We want to hear the testimonies.
Right.
We want to hear people overcoming. I couldn't have been any more than 31 or 32 when I heard that. And I thought, he's right. Mm-hmm. He's right. In fact, I tell my recovering alcoholics and addicts every once in a while, you know, in order to, you need to have some understanding with the church. And if you don't, go in the back of the church and stand up and say, I'm an alcoholic, and see what the church does. Is that they're going to have a hard time understanding what's the next step. But it should be an easy step to take. It's not a difficult step.
No.
If we understand the disease.
Right. It was interesting at the ASAM meeting that I referenced, in one of the pre-conferences, I was a table facilitator for people coming to a course called The Fundamentals of Addiction. And these are folks that aren't necessarily trained in addiction, but they're interested. Primary care doctors, young psychiatrists, other groups. And we spent a lot of time just talking to them and role-playing. How do you ask someone about their drinking and their smoking and their drug use, and how do you have these conversations, and what are some tools that you can integrate? They don't know how to even ask the questions, whether it be clergy, whether it be physicians, whether it be nurses. It's not been part of the training. But with the work that you do, with bringing the students into your center and having them exposed to the idea that you can walk into a group in the commencement center, people sitting around in the circle, and I'll dare bet you can't tell who is the leader of the group, who are the students observing the group, and who are the patients being treated, because faces are the same. And there is hope. And I thank you for the good work that you and your staff do, and I thank you all for listening. And we will see you next week on Detailing Addiction. Please check out the Athens Area Commencement Center if you have questions or needs. And we'll see you next week on Detailing Addiction.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.